Hello, thanks for tuning in today to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we are continuing our parenting article entitled Biology Matters. And back in the studio with me, I have Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hey, it's good to be back, and I look forward to wrapping this one up.
Yeah, what did we discuss yesterday? What is one point that really stuck out for you?
Well, we're talking about gender-neutral parenting, and I feel like one point that stuck out for me was how gender equality doesn't always correlate or equal to gender-neutral parenting, that you mm-hmm. can support and promote equality,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that, oh, you shouldn't celebrate the genders and the differences between right. man and woman.
Right, you can be equal, mm. but also there can be differences.
Right.
All right, and we also have Lois. Welcome, Lois.
Well, I'm glad to be back, Brandon. Thank you.
And Lois, you have a lot of experience in this area because you are a parent.
Yeah, you know, this article, two-day article, brought back a lot of great memories.
I'm glad they're great.
Yeah, they are, actually. And it reminds me of, you know, I was just going kind of over in my head, what did my kids play with? Mm. What did they gravitate towards? How involved were they with each parent or with each other as a brother and a sister?
Yeah, and what were some of those experiences? You know, what kind of toys did your kids gravitate toward?
Well, we had a lot of noise in our house, so that means they gravitated towards things, toys that made noises, it seemed.
Okay.
Or like building blocks that my husband mm-hmm. had made them, like, yeah. you know, painting blocks that he had made and cut out and sanded and everything
right.
like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Albert? What kind of toys did you like as a kid?
I feel like just like Legos, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, right. I still have those.
Okay, did you guys have Micro Machine cars? The little Wii, or was that?
No, I didn't have the really small ones, but I had little cars, little
Hot
toy
wheels.
Cars.
Hot wheels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Building blocks, Erector set.
Okay.
Any yes. either one of you into Meccano?
Meccano, I think it's Erector set, like
okay.
the American version.
Yeah.
Like you get nuts and bolts and screws
yes.
and a power
yes.
drill. Yeah.
No, I didn't do that. But I love the Ninja Turtles. That was my favorite cartoon. I like the action figures. Honestly, I think some of them are still at my parents' house.
Yeah. That's awesome. You can gift it to your children.
Yeah. That's true.
Down right? the road.
Yeah.
Or sell it on eBay. Maybe, you know, it's...
Yeah, maybe it'll be worth something. I also like playing with the little toy cars, like the Hot Wheels and so forth. And
how about Tonka trucks?
No, I don't remember playing with
okay,
that.
My son was into that.
So
I wonder nowadays, you know, kids, what are their toys? An iPad? They're going to talk about, I have this favorite app.
Yeah.
No, you're not supposed to actually give them the iPad or
I
the phone.
I see them on the subway with the iPads.
Yeah, I guess there are some benefits. I think you can learn some things, but it's just how much they use them.
Yeah. Right. They're really concerned now for children with their fine motor skills.
Right.
That's why they don't want them to be handed to them.
Okay, well, we are on page 33, and if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up or follow along on your electronic device. And right now, we'll have our first reading for today. Going with the tide? In the face of scientific data, the gender-neutral movement nevertheless continues to gain momentum. Its adherence took heart in a study published last year in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which touted the idea that the brains of women and men are identical. If so, that would support the theory that gender is an artificially created, outdated concept. Okay, going with the tide. Is it good to always go with the tide, Lois?
No, I don't think it's always good to go with the tide by any means. That mm-hmm. means you're a conformist.
Right, you're following what everyone else is doing,
right.
what society is doing, and you just kind of jump on that bandwagon, right?
Right, and we see from our vocabulary focus that there's go with the tide, swim with the tide, but you will also hear a lot of people in the English-speaking world say go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying there really is an idiom, and it says to follow what everyone else is doing, or nowadays I think to follow what everyone else is thinking and saying.
Yeah, right. Sometimes it's better just to go against the tide, right, and do something different. And so in this section, we're talking about some scientific data. You can say data or data. And we're talking about the gender neutral movement. And this whole movement, the gender neutral movement, is the whole idea that we don't really want to emphasize two genders. We don't want to emphasize this is only for males, this is only for females, that we just want to make everything neutral. And it is gaining momentum, Albert, and we also have another vocab here that kind of explains this more.
Right, we have adherence, and what happens is it's a person who strongly supports a particular person, principle, or set of ideas. And, you know, so they took heart with this matter, they took it personally, and a study that was published which touted the idea that the brains of men and women are identical.
Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, biology matters and there are differences in the sexes, right? Male mm-hmm. and female.
Right.
But here there's another study saying that, oh, brains of men and women are identical. Okay, and then we have this word touted.
Touted, yeah. So touted to promote.
Okay.
So we're saying which promoted the idea that the brains of women and men were identical.
Okay, so this is a different study, of course. It's not something that we were talking about yesterday or anything. This is a separate study. And it goes on, it says, if so, that would support the theory that gender is an artificially created, outdated concept. And so if this study is true, then, you know, the theory, you know, that there's differences among genders is outdated, according to this study. And so that's another line of thinking, right? And so we see the differences here in the way people approach this subject.
Right.
On our next section, we are talking about this more, but actually we see that maybe, according to this author and maybe some other research, that these findings aren't true. I guess it's up to you. You have to decide what you want to believe. In our next section, we're going to talk about how male and females are wired differently. Wired differently. However, an immense body of neuroimaging research has shown brain differences between the sexes. One meta-analysis of 126 studies found that men have larger total brain volumes than women. Men also show greater white matter connectivity running from the front to the back of the brain, while women have more of these connections running between the two hemispheres. Additionally, when researchers reanalyzed the data from the No Sex Differences study, they found that it was possible to correctly identify whether a brain was male or female 73% of the time. But this discovery did not receive much attention from the media. As a result, the initial study's misinformation continues to spread. All right, so we see that, however, okay, so we just talked about this other viewpoint, and now we're going into, we're going to kind of see another side here. So it says, however, an immense body of neuroimaging research, okay, so neuroimaging is this producing of images of the brain, and this neuroimaging research has shown brain differences between the sexes. So, Lois, we just talked about this other study that said, oh, men's brains and women's brains, they're the same.
Right.
But that, according to this, isn't the case.
That's right. So that's why we have to bring several studies together, read them, and decide for ourselves. And it says here that's exactly what they did. And there was 126 studies altogether.
Okay, and we see here the term meta-analysis, and that is the combining of data from multiple studies. And so, because we were talking about 126 studies.
Exactly. So it's a statistical procedure. for combining data from, like you said, multiple studies.
What did they find?
Well, they found that men have larger total brain volumes than women. And, you know, they also go on to say men also show greater white matter. Now, I feel like I usually have heard of the other term, which is gray matter. What is gray matter?
Well, that's just the nerve tissue of the brain.
Right, and white matter is basically just learning in tissue, which helps people learn and coordinate, and it's white because of the fattiness in the fatty substance.
Okay, so men, according to this, men show greater white matter connectivity running from the front to the back of the brain, but what about women?
Well, first, I didn't know men had fat brains. But anyways...
I guess why that's sort of stubborn.
Yeah.
Well, women have more of these connections running between the two hemispheres. Which actually, I can tell our listeners, I found out about that because I had a very small stroke at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And I got informed about these two hemispheres and how women have... more of these connections.
Okay, so I want to stop here and talk about this for a minute. Now, I've heard it said that men, their brains are more like little compartments.
Ooh, okay.
A woman's brain is like a web, kind of, all these different things going on. And I see this in action, right? And we see the photos there, page 32. We see an example of I guess, what a man's brain is supposed to be like. And on page 33, the woman's. And I see this in action sometimes, and I'm sure it's probably not always true, but sometimes men, they think of maybe one thing at a time, which would describe or show like the compartments in their brain represent that. And then women can be thinking of, I guess, different things, you know, all at one time. I don't know. Is that true?
It's kind of true because just from being married 33 years, my husband still laughs about this. We'll be talking about something, and then I'll bring something else into the conversation. And he'll go, where did that come from, Lois? And then I'll go, well, you know, we were talking about baseball, and we were talking about the field, and I was thinking about the grass we should plant in the backyard and what color we should pick.
Oh, wow.
And then from the color of the grass, what do you think we should paint the eave troughs?
Yeah,
and it's
so
to me, it makes sense.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
I've seen that in my mom. She'll be talking about something, and then she'll insert all these other things before she finishes the first point. And I'm like, what's the... What are you trying to get to? So, and I'm sure that's not always the case, but it is interesting to see how oftentimes men and women think in different ways. Okay, and so we get some information there about how everything's connected. And then additionally, what do we see?
Well, when researchers reanalyzed, so they went back, you know, and looked it over again, the data from the No Sex Differences study, they found that it was possible to correctly identify whether a brain was male or female 73% of the time. So it's kind of like this, I wouldn't say discrediting that, but it's kind of like disproving it.
Okay, so this one study says men and women, their brains are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And this one says 73% of the time they could distinguish between male and female.
Right.
These scans, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So they're not told they're going to be working on a male brain or a female brain, but 73% of the time they know.
But it says the media did not pay much attention to this discovery. Okay, and so, you know, I didn't study this. And I don't really know if the media paid much attention to it, but according to this author, it didn't. And so if that is the case, you know, oftentimes the media pays attention to what the media wants to pay attention to or what they think people want to hear and so forth.
And we have a well-informed author here because she's a neuroscientist at York University in Toronto. So she's not just doing this in her spare time writing these articles.
Right.
This is her specialty.
Right. Mm. So as a result, the initial study's misinformation continues to spread. And that is unfortunate that we have misinformation a lot of times that continues to be spread. And if people, you know, if we believe misinformation, then we will be misinformed, right? And so we don't want that. And we've talked about this in the past, the whole idea of fake news, right? There's all kinds of news online, and we need to consider the source. And Lois just brought up a very good point. The lady who wrote this is her expertise, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's important to consider the source when we're looking at news.
And our own readers, because I know they're inquisitive, you can Google her name and you can read about her.
Right.
Her name is
Deborah W. So.
Nice. Okay. I guess basically we should keep an open mind.
Very good, Albert.
Yes, we should. Okay, so how does this all play out? Let's find out in our next reading. How it plays out. I hear from many well-meaning parents who raised their children in gender-neutral homes and were surprised to find that they nevertheless gravitated toward stereotypical interests and toys. The gender-neutral trend capitalizes on fears that parents have of inadvertently limiting their child's potential. We want the best for our children, for daughters to grow up to be as competitive for jobs as their male counterparts, and for sons to possess strong social and communication skills. Okay, the writer here says that she hears from many well-meaning parents. And if you're well-meaning, that's a good thing. What does it mean to be well-meaning, Lois?
It means you're a parent that does their very best.
Right. Okay. So parents, they're sincere. They're trying to do the best they can. And she hears from these parents, and they're raising their children in this gender-neutral environment. And these parents were surprised by something.
Right. That nevertheless, the children gravitated again, like they were pulled towards stereotypical interests and toys, which is like, oh, boys will like trucks and cars and girls will like dolls.
Right. Of course, if something is stereotypical, it's what most people think about something. You expect boys to play with cars. Mm-hmm. That's a stereotype. And a lot of times we don't like stereotypes, but, you know, maybe it's a stereotype for a reason. Right. It's not always true. But it may be true in many cases, mm-hmm. or even most cases.
That's right.
Okay, so some parents are surprised by this. The gender-neutral trend capitalizes on fears the parents have of inadvertently limiting their child's potential. Okay, so if you capitalize on fear, what are you doing, Lois?
You're taking advantage of the parents in this situation.
Right. Okay. So the parents, they're afraid. They want to raise their children in the right way and everything like that. And so this trend is really kind of taking advantage of that mindset. Okay. And then, because parents, they don't want to limit their children. Right. And so they think, oh, more freedom is better. Right, and it's important to have freedom, you know, but you don't want to just discount, you know, facts, discount the fact that biology really does matter, because, you know, that could cause problems in the long run, right? We have this term inadvertently as well. What does that mean?
Well, it's a personal favorite of mine. It means not intentionally.
Okay.
Like sometimes you go about doing something and you may have inadvertently upset someone, or just, you know, made someone sad, and it was not intentional.
Right, so parents, they don't want to unintentionally limit their children.
Right.
Their potential.
Exactly. They want their children to feel like the sky's the limit.
Right. And, of course, we talked about that already. Of course, we want the best for our kids. We want them to dream big and so forth, but that doesn't mean that there aren't differences, right? That they might gravitate towards certain things and so forth. So it says here, we want the best for our children, and we want, you know, our daughters to grow up to be very competitive, as competitive for a job as their male counterparts. Right.
Right. That's for sure. And for sons to possess strong social and communication skills. But then once again, I think the birth order enters into this, Brandon,
mm-hmm.
because oftentimes you find that parents will admit they read more to their firstborn child and spent more time kind of, if you want to say, teaching the child just because they had more time.
Right.
So I don't know. Is it because it was a boy or a girl, or is it because of the birth order? That child came first. You had all this time
right.
compared to when you had four kids.
Certainly there are other factors that dictate what you do and why you do it.
Right.
And so those things can be considered as well. You know, here we see that we want the best for our children, But how do we give them, how do we set them up for success is an important question as well. Well, as we end today, we're going to talk about celebrating our genders. So let's talk about that in our last section.
Celebrate your gender. But whether your child leans toward gender atypical traits will likely have more to do with the prenatal environment than a perfectly balanced upbringing. Besides, so long as children are given the option to take part in activities they find interesting, there's nothing wrong with being gender typical. Acknowledging inherent sex differences isn't harmful or sexist. Differences don't necessitate one sex being better than the other.
Okay, so it's important that we celebrate our genders, okay? So if you're male, it's important to celebrate that. If you're female, you can celebrate
that. Right, like Helen Reddy, I am woman, hear me roar. Like, come on, I grew up on that song.
Uh-huh, okay, all right. So, but what does it really have to do with? What do we see here in this beginning of this section, Albert?
Right, so, you know, whether your child leans towards something typical or stereotypical, it has more to do with the prenatal environment than the environment that they end up being in.
Okay, all right. And so if they lean one way or the other, it has to do with what happens, you know, before they are born.
Right.
Prenatal, existing or occurring prior to birth, so in the womb.
Right. And I feel like I'm, you know, just making an assumption here, but I feel like parenting is pretty darn difficult already. And I feel like with this, the takeaway from this is like, hey, there's one less thing to stress about. You know, you don't have to fuss over like, oh, giving them a gender neutral color like yellow. And I'm like, I'm ruining their potential to go to Harvard if I give them blue.
Right.
Is it pink?
When I read this article as a parent, I kept going, oh my goodness, this just adds more problems for people raising children. Mm. Oh, did my son spend too much time in the flower garden today? Should I have exposed him to the Tonka truck? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, relax. Mm-hmm. Just relax and let your kids be kids.
Mm-hmm. But here it talks about what is atypical. And so maybe your child will tend to like one sort of toy that's not typical for its gender, for his or her gender. That is all determined, according to this, before the child is born. Okay, so that's something to consider and think about as a parent. And it goes on, it says, besides, so long as children are given the option to take part in activities they find interesting, there's nothing wrong with being gender typical. Okay, and so we talk about gender atypical, but then there's gender typical. It's okay for boys to like cars and girls to like dolls. You don't have to try to, you know, oh, no, we want our kids to play with everything or whatever. You know, Lois just talked about let them play with what they want, right?
Right, right.
So I think we can get really confused about this, but I think it's important to remember that, you know, what happens before we're born, it's not in our control.
Mm.
And so it's already there, and that's the way we were created. And so, you know, if a boy wants to play with a car, of course, let him play with a car. And if a girl wants to play with a doll and so forth, or maybe a child likes different things. It really, all of this is determined before the child is born. And I suppose, like, some things the parents, you know, can influence as well. Mm-hmm. This is one study. We don't have everything here. And I'm sure you saw that as a parent.
Right. You know, like, for instance, I exposed both my kids. I put my both kids in at the same time into figure skating.
Mm.
Well, some people said, why are you putting your boy into figure skating? He should be into power skating. And I said, because if you talk to hockey players and they've done figure skating, it actually makes them a better hockey player. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, and because they were brother and sister, I thought, hey, they'll enjoy doing this together.
Yeah. And I want to, you know, clear up, you know, this idea. Earlier I said everything is determined. I don't think necessarily everything, but maybe a great deal is a better way to say it, is determined when we're talking about kids choosing this or that kind of toy. Acknowledging inherent sex differences isn't harmful or sexist. differences don't necessitate one sex being better than the other. And that's a point that we've been trying to make, I think, over the past couple of days, is that you can have gender equality and still have differences, which I think is a beautiful thing, right?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, it makes us able to learn about each other and to learn ways to work with each other, too.
Yes, that's important, of course, to work with each other. And, you know, I think in relationships, you see this. It's important to work together. People are different, and it's hard. You have to love each other and love people where they are, right? And people are different. We are definitely, we don't all think the same way. And so that's an important thing to remember.
Right. And I feel like, you know, these past 2 days, this article has been maybe a little bit difficult.
Mm.
But, you know, listeners, if you want, and I highly encourage you to do this, we have a QR code in our magazine. Scan it and, you know, take you to our advanced topic talks. You know,
yes.
Doris is there. Amanda's there. We have teacher Linda and Josh actually doing a review skit for this. Super fun. They had a lot of fun recording it, and I'm sure you guys will have a lot of fun watching it.
Yes, so please check out our topic talks videos. Just scan that QR code there at the top of page 32. And also, we hope that you will write into us and let us know your thoughts about this subject. It's not an easy subject to discuss, but maybe you have some ideas and some thoughts about it. Please write into us and let us know what you think. And we hope you will join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.